In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here we are now, Divine Mercy Sunday. Here we are, Rosh HaBachata. Here we are now, the new Sunday of the Church, the new Sunday that Jesus has created, that He breathes life now into us. He breathes new life. That the same very grace of baptism He gives us of the Holy Spirit, now we have this new life. We are in a certain sense reinvigorated. We are now able to truly realize what it is that He's done for us. And as we have traveled through these 40 days of Lent, as we traveled through Holy Week, as we traveled through these days, here now we come to the story of the disciples who on Easter evening are scared. On Easter evening are confused. Who on Easter evening, having just heard from the woman who came back from the tomb, that the tomb is empty and that Jesus is risen from the dead. This is scary. The entire week has been confusing to them. The entire week has been one of many emotions. Here is Holy Thursday, where Jesus shares the Last Supper with His disciples, and He washes their feet, something a servant does. So there are a lot of emotions that are exchanged there. How is it that my Lord and my Master washes my feet? Then He goes to the garden, where He goes to pray with His disciples. And yet here are the disciples who can't stay 1 hour with Him to pray. Just 1 hour is all He asks for. And they can't seem to just do that. Then here's Jesus, who is betrayed by one of the disciples, one of His very own. Betrayed for just a few pieces of silver, for just 30 pieces. That's it. Betraying God Himself for 30 pieces of silver. Here is Jesus, who goes to Good Friday. He goes before these crowds that just on Palm Sunday were cheering Him in as He rides into Jerusalem. As He goes into Jerusalem, they're yelling, "Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna to the one who's going to save us." This very same crowd calls for His crucifixion. This very same crowd calls for His death. This very same crowd denies Him, just as Peter does when it is that Jesus needs him the most. So here are the disciples. They're confused. They've betrayed Jesus. They've deserted Him. And it's time when Jesus really needed them the most, they've gone against Him. They've run away from Him. Here are these mixed emotions. Maybe it's a good thing that He's resurrected from the dead. Maybe it's not a good thing. Maybe He's come back for His vengeance. Maybe He'll come back angry. Maybe He'll come back and not too happy with us. He has every right not to be happy with us. So what is it? What's happening? When we hear about these things, not only are they afraid of the people who are looking to kill them, now they're afraid of Jesus who's going to come back and maybe take vengeance. And so here they are, huddled behind a closed door, just trying to kind of pass these few days in safety and not get killed. So many emotions. Maybe there's a lot of guilt there as well. A lot of sadness, a lot of shame for what they've done. And Jesus enters into the midst of them through the door. And He only says one phrase. "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." That's it. And He repeats it a second time. "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, now so I send you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you." That's it. That's what Jesus has come to bring. That no matter how many times it is that we betray Him, no matter how many times it is that we go against Him, that's what He comes to bring us, is peace. Peace be with you. How many times do we go against Him? How many times have we betrayed Him? How many times have we deserted Him? How many times have we gone against Him? And here is Jesus, who comes to us in the midst of our shame, in the midst of our sin, in the midst of this darkness, in the midst of what it is that we have going on in here. And He comes into our hearts and He says just those words. "Peace be with you." That's it. He's not looking to go against you. He's not looking for vengeance. He's not looking to punish you for going against Him. Not at all. But He's so patient. So incredibly patient. My brothers and sisters, this is what we celebrate, is the divine mercy, is the very mercy and the love of God that it is that we crave, the very love and the mercy of God that we are seeking. That we do not have a vengeful God, not in the slightest, but we have a God who wants to bring all these feelings now to calmness, to peace. He wants to be able to, whatever it is going on in here, to bring it to light. That is what it is that we crave as Christians. That is what it means to live in the hope of the resurrection. That is what it means to live in the resurrection, that although at times we might be feeling like our life is a crucifix, as if there is nothing more than darkness, it's then that we live now in the hope of the resurrection. And when we live in the hope of the resurrection, we bring everything into that very hope. You see, my brothers and sisters, we all have hurts in our life, all of us. I don't care who you are. We're going to go through sufferings. We're going to be ones who sin. We're going to be ones who go against God. We're going to be ones who have this chaotic feelings inside, this chaotic just kind of jumbling of feelings. Whatever it might be. There's painful times. There's sorrowful times. There's times when it is that it's my fault. There's times in which it is that I deserve in every which way to not receive good things from our Lord, our God, right? And here He is now. He wants nothing more than to bring us but peace and calmness. You see, my brothers and sisters, to live in the resurrection means that we take everything to Him. Everything. That imagine the most painful parts of your life, those memories that you just want to kind of shove into a dark room and kind of lock that room and never kind of visit it again. And when it comes up, how many hurt feelings does it bring? Maybe someone's betrayed you. Maybe it is that someone's hurt you. Maybe it is that you've disappointed God. Maybe it is that you're so full of shame. Whatever it might be. Whatever that darkness is in your life, show it to Him. Imagine now that you are entering into prayer with that very painful feeling. And as you enter into that prayer, very painful feeling, now you realize that in the midst of that, somehow, some way, in the midst of your agony, in the midst of your shame, in the midst of sin, in the midst of darkness, you imagine Jesus coming to us saying, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." That's it. My brothers and sisters, this is what we focus on today. We've received the gift of Easter. We've received the gift of the resurrection. We've received the gift of the empty tomb. That death no longer frightens us, not at all. That death no longer has a sting on us, not at all. But now it is that we've realized the joy of the resurrection and we go forward, as John Paul II says, as Easter people. And hallelujah is our song because we sing it until the day we die, because it is that Jesus has given us new life and life eternal. But now, my brothers and sisters, the challenge becomes this. We've experienced the resurrection. Now it is that we are beginning to walk with Jesus in the newness of life. We are beginning to walk with Jesus in the newness of the Spirit that we've all received in our baptism. And that newness of Spirit, we walk with Jesus. And as we walk with Jesus, everything in our life now is meant to portray that calmness. That when it is that we go out there, when it is that you go back to your jobs, when it is that you go back to school, when it is that you go back to your spouse, when it is that you go back to your family, your extended family, whatever it might be, you are to show the love and the mercy of Jesus. Same love and mercy that He shows you. As Jesus says, "You have been My disciples. You have learned from Me. You have been My students." Now Jesus makes them into apostles. The very word apostles means to be sent out. You've learned. Now you sent out. Now it is that you teach. Now it is that you show others who Jesus is in your life, that they might be converted. That's what we're looking for. Everyone craves Jesus. Everyone wants Jesus in a world that is dying. Everyone wants Jesus in a world that is fading away. Because in Him, there is eternal life and life to the fullest. Our brothers and sisters, the challenge becomes this. You've experienced the joy of Easter. And you are continuing to experience it. Invite others to experience it as well. Maybe there's someone in your life who needs forgiveness. Maybe there's someone in your life who you need to forgive, or they need to forgive you, or whatever it might be, and it just needs to be able to be talked to. Maybe there's a sin, again, that we just continue to struggle with that's in the darkness of our life. Maybe there's a painful moment that we can't get over. Imagine Jesus working in it, coming into your life. Peace be with you. But more important, invite people to pray. Invite people to come experience the very living God that it is that you experience. To come and visit Jesus Christ, who is the only source of peace that we can't begin to even describe. Invite them. Invite them to prayer. Invite them to church. Invite them to Mass. Invite them to forgiveness. Invite them taking off the heaviness of darkness and bringing on the yoke of light. That is what Jesus wants from us. To be able to focus Him on His divine mercy, on the emptiness of the tomb, that we might be able to always see him and see in him the resurrection of life, the very resurrection of life that gives us new life. Amen?